I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Heartbreaking is the word used by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to describe the town of Les Cayes in southwest Haiti. Ban's remarks came after he saw firsthand this weekend the devastation wrought by Hurricane Matthew. He also expressed concerns that the international community wasn't doing enough to help. Many Haitians are still waiting for food, shelter, and medicine, and cholera is threatening to become a big problem. From a town just to the west of Les Cayes, Amy Bracken has our story.
If you Google images of Port-Salut, Haiti, you'll see a Caribbean paradise. White sand beaches, coconut trees, inviting turquoise sea. The hotel Reposoir de Village had a bar on the beach and tables under thatch umbrellas. When I stayed there 2 years ago, the only problem was an almond tree noisily dropping its fruit on the tin roof. Today, it's silent. There's no more tin roof, and the almond tree has lost its branches. The bar and restaurant are now just a mess of downed trees and rubble. Only a cement hut office is still standing. It's where I find Chelo Lamé clearing debris.
Bon, la pluie avec vent commence à tomber, m'te la caille.
When the wind and rain came, I was at home, he says. A piece of tin from my roof fell on my head, but it didn't injure me. I was with one of my children, and early in the morning I ran with my child under my arm, and we finally got to a cement house. Thank God my children weren't hurt, he says. But a young relative of his, a baby girl, Anaika, was killed when a piece of tin roof hit her head. Now Lamé and 11 others are sleeping in one room together, the same place he had fled to in the storm. Outside the hut, a cauldron of fish soup simmers over a charcoal fire. Lamé lost his full-time job as a cook, but now he's earning a bit of money making meals for the workers hired to clear the land. He says he and other former workers around here are focused on finding jobs to support their children. And rebuilding, he says, well, that won't be easy. It will take a long time and will require a lot of money, a lot of aid, a lot of thinking through, and a lot of patience. I ask Lamé and the laborers he's cooking for if they know a distribution is going on in town right now. The aid group Samaritan's Purse is giving out blankets, plastic sheeting for roofs, rain collection buckets, and soap. Yes, they say, but they couldn't go because they're working. And besides, there's never enough, and the police get aggressive with the crowds. Later, at the distribution site, I ask a group of women carrying away supplies if the aid was what they had needed. Clearly, it helps, but is not enough. They say their neighborhood, called Sipion, has been destroyed, and nobody has been by to see them. So we head over. Where a river crosses the road, we leave the car and cross on foot. The knee-high water is clear sapphire, and it looks delicious under this relentless, dehydrating sun. Locals say they've been told the river might be contaminated after Matthew, but they don't have other options for drinking water. At what's left of the first house in Sipion, we speak with Anderson Darius. If cholera comes here, as it's come to other places, Darius says, a lot of people will die here because we don't have clean drinking water. There has already been an uptick in cholera cases in other parts of southwest Haiti since the hurricane. And Darius says the local well is damaged and the price in town for small sacks of water has gone up in the last week. Imagine that for the moment you have a bit of money reserved and a little plantain tree, he says. The tree fell and you cut it. You can survive for 2 or 3 weeks, but after 15 or 22 days, you won't have anything left. So aid would help us a lot. People eat, he goes on, but you don't eat to fill your stomach. You eat just enough to keep going. I wish for help to come as quickly as possible, because if you wait 15 or 22 days, people might not survive. 6 people were in this house in the storm when the roof blew off. Like Lamé, they all fled to a cement-roofed house and are still sleeping there every night. One of them is an elderly woman named Enid Saint-Jour. I ask her what went through her head when the storm was over. She slaps her hands against each other in a sign of resignation and says, I don't have anything. House, I have no house. I don't have any house. I don't have any garden at all. All my animals died. Goats, sheep, pigs, all died. Some of the women I first met on the road are waiting for us out front. And soon they are taking me by the arm, pulling me in one direction or another to see destroyed house after destroyed house. Most homes along the road are completely uninhabitable. Jesta Kadi's home is mostly rubble. I was standing here with the children like this, she says, pressing herself against one of the remaining inside walls. The wind was blowing, and then the whole roof blew away as we were standing here. I kept calling out for the children, and they'd say, "We're here." I was convinced they would die, and I knew I would die here, too. But they made it safely to the neighbor's house, the one house around with a cement roof. She, along with most of the neighborhood, sleeps there these days. The mayor of Port Salut has reported that dozens in his town died in the storm. I asked Kadi if any of the deaths were here in Sipion. No, she says. We were lucky. For The World, Amy Bracken, Port Salut, Haiti.